to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. Well, for the community. We appreciate that very much. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra members and American Federation of Government Employees. We appreciate their support. In studio today, we've got Dr. Kim Dyer. She is a library arts professor or associate professor and a member of the Newspaper Guild of Pittsburgh and the Communication Workers of America. Also, we have Dr. Bill Purcell. He's a clinical psychologist. Yeah, thank you. Also with the Newspaper Guild and the Communication Workers of America. So we could have the doctor back and forth, but I'm not a doctor, so that kind of blows that. But guys, welcome to the Union Edge. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Well, you guys finally, took you a while, got a contract with Point Park. Talk to us about this, Bill.
Well, it was a 13-year struggle. The university was an extremely reluctant partner in this the
okay.
entire way.
Yeah.
For the obvious reason that they were going to have to begin to pay living wages to people once we were unionized.
Wait a second. Pay living wages? You guys are doctors. I mean,
10% of our faculty was making $25,000 a year for full-time teaching.
Bill, say that again, please.
10% of our faculty, at the time we began negotiations, 10% of our faculty were making $25,000 a year for an extremely heavy full-time teaching load.
Is that tenured position?
Those are non-tenured instructors. It's part of the new economic model for universities.
It's part of the what it's like to be a coal miner, working in the coal mine. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
okay.
much.
10%, 25 grand. That doesn't even begin to cover the school loans, does it?
No, and this was a strategy that they actually began and continued to use throughout the negotiation period, essentially because they could.
And they would make it more and more difficult for people to make a living while they're trying to negotiate a contract with the university over a decade and a half.
Exactly.
Why are my tax dollars going to these people?
Well, why is it a nonprofit is a good question. And what a nonprofit is a good question
yeah,
as well.
Why are we worried about making a buck when we're a nonprofit? It should be the education of young, impressionable minds. But that's another story in and of itself. Wow. $25,000, PhD, full load, $25,000 a year. That is shameful. And now I got a question, Karen. How many students in the class?
It depends on the discipline, but Point Park actively does have a cap of around 28 to 30 students
okay,
in most of their undergraduate courses.
So let's see, 30, and what's a course cost? About $3,000. Whatever. I mean, there's a lot of bodies in that classroom.
Yes, absolutely. And if you track their work, if you track a professor's work over the last 10 years in particular, the amount of teaching that they're expected to do to the amount of students that they're expected to do it for the amount of money that they're expected to do it for is in complete opposite relationship to each
yeah.
other.
All right. So it wasn't a matter of the university was starving to death. This was just, we're being cheap and we're taking it off of you, so, 'cause we can.
Well, their contention since they first unionized, or attempted, the faculty first unionized, is that because we were a private institution, that professors at Point Park University were actually managers.
No.
No.
No, could you hire, fire people?
Which is how we won in every court case that the union went through.
Hey,
at over
least they didn't pull out the religious clause. Or did
thankfully, we are secular.
Or they try that. All right. So, 13 years into this dogfight, you guys finally get a contract. God bless. this should not have happened. I mean, Pittsburgh is the wrong place for this to happen. I mean, Pittsburgh students, Pittsburgh families paying into the institution. I mean, you know, what's the next thing that's going to happen? They're going to say, like, we're like UPMC, we don't have any employees, or what? I don't know. So, Bill, where are you guys at with this right now?
Well, we just finished the negotiations, mm-hmm. and we have ratified the contract.
Okay.
And the contract has, I think, enormous improvements for our faculty, mm-hmm. especially the people who are underpaid. It's only a beginning, but it is very gratifying to have accomplished this, and I have to say that we are extremely happy and extremely exhausted, and that clearly one of the tactics that the university was using throughout this was essentially to wear us out.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. Right now we're talking with Dr. Kim Dwyer and Dr. Kim Dwyer and Dr. Bill Purcell, both with the Newspaper Guild and the Communication Workers of America. So you've got a contract. You've got how long is this contract for? 3 years?
It's actually a four-year contract.
Four-year contract.
Covering the first year of negotiations in which we were working without a contract, mm-hmm. and then going forward for three more years.
Okay. So you've got room now. You've got breathing room to build the unit, and as new people come in, get them in and up to date on the contract, and then figure out what you want to negotiate for next time around.
That's correct. I think we also are confronting the fact that because we have moved to a union model, lots of the ways business was conducted at Point Park are no longer acceptable or relevant to what we want to try to do, because basically the administration has operated the university without a whole lot of constraints on it,
right.
On things like workload, on things like physical conditions of the classrooms. There's a variety of things. Universities are obviously a fairly complex community. They don't fit well into the corporate model that has
right,
been
imposed
on it.
Right, but it's a nonprofit. I mean, this should not be a cutthroat. What are we doing at the end of the quarter here? This should be, how are we educating young minds? And that should be the priority, at least in my opinion. And I'm sure the opinion of everybody who's paying Point Park to attend or to send somebody there. I got to ask, Karen, through this process, support from the student body, support from the other people at the university, support from the community, how was it?
I would say across the board, we got almost universal support. Our student population in particular, they come to Point Park to work with faculty directly. They were, from what I understand in news reportage from our student newspaper, as well as anecdotally, as well as from our student union reports, they were universally appalled to find out how little of their tuition money was going
right.
to faculty.
Right. And I want to ask this. How long have you been at Point Park?
I'm in my eighth year now.
Okay, and Bill?
12.
Okay, so you guys, you've been around for a fairly good amount of time. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask this and we're going to go to break. But think about this for a second. How big has the explosion been on the administrative side of the house? I mean, versus how much support has the academic side gotten over the last 8 to 12 years? And let's talk about that problem and maybe where we want to go from there. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania State Education Association Staff Organization and the Pennsylvania State Education Association. The union has a unionized staff. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of neat. So, in studio with me today, Karen Dreyer. And if I said Kim before, I apologize. And Bill Purcell. Guys, welcome back. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the contract. You know, we talk about universities and colleges today with the explosion of more people, more money, more resources going into the administration side of this. How big of a deal was that for you guys to fight back against?
It's enormous. I mean, basically, and this is a kind of a unifying theme, I think, throughout much of the economy. The management class is expanding almost virally and also establishing precedents of having much higher salaries than the people that also do the
right
work. And this is a big issue at Point Park. Administrative, we could not get clean statistics from the university about their budget. We never got the kind of data that we wanted. But just being there, we know the number of administrative positions has gone up dramatically. We also know that people like the president of the university have taken major pay raises throughout the period of time that our salaries have been frozen.
And having talked with your adjunct brothers and sisters, we also know that there were some very interesting expenditures. Mm-hmm. You know, the fountain, the $30,000 in driveway lights and other things that are going on. And I think to myself, those things have to be self-critiquing because once they hit the sunlight of daylight, people go, why are you doing this? You should be ashamed of doing this. You've got people teaching full time earning $25,000 a year with a PhD. That's shameful.
It is.
But yet they allow it to happen.
it could have gone on indefinitely without the opportunity to unionize.
Yeah.
There was no countervailing force. There was no effective break against any of it. And it continued to accelerate right up to the day we ratified the contract.
Karen, let me ask you this. During the break, you related this is the first time you've been in a union.
Yes.
Before, and I want to talk to you about perception. I am a firm believer that a woman's place is in her union and a leadership position. Before you became a union member, before you went down this road negotiating for a contract and fighting for a contract and getting cards signed and going through the process of voting in the union, what was your perception of unions? And what did you think about unions?
I've always thought they were awesome, to be honest. I read Marx as a very young child. I was raised in a very working class household, and my grandfathers were both union members, and my father and my mother were both professionals that weren't part of traditionally unionized fields. But as soon as I started at Point Park, I mean, it was grotesque to me, essentially. I was hired the mid-court case, and so this was already in action before I became a faculty member there. And it just became abundantly clear to me very early on that the only place we would have a shot as a group and as an institution was with one voice, and that voice had to come from all of us standing together. And so I radicalized pretty early. I came in 2009, and by 2010, I was writing very strongly worded collective emails on behalf of junior untenured female faculty in particular.
There you go. God bless you for doing that. And there is a bug that bites when it's appropriate, and it's a wonderful thing to see it happen. My question to you is, and I think I've got part of it. You've already been out there helping young women get into their union, helping them with the union, so on and so forth. What do you say to those young women that are out there today that are in the work environment or trying to get into the work environment who have no core experience? They don't have a mom. They don't have a dad. They don't have an aunt or an uncle or even grandparents that have been in a union. What do you say to them?
Request a meeting with three of you. Never go into any room alone. I know that sounds horrible to say, but it's absolutely true. If you can find one other person to go into the room with to file the complaint, find one other person to do it. If you can find one other, that means there's four other. If there's four others, that means there's 10 others. You get the collective voice going on your own. I said very early on in our process, when they were like, we don't have a union. And I was like, I think we should just start acting like we do. And that's what we did as a group.
That mindset right there is the tripwire. That's whether or not you recognize we have a union, we have a union. We are unionized, and we'll worry about the paperwork later. Bill, your thoughts about this process? I mean, first time in a union for you?
First time for me.
Okay.
I came to the school in about the second year of the legal battle to unionize. We encountered numerous new faculty coming in, young faculty, and what we really talked to them about is just take a look at what's going on. Take a look in the community in terms of what happens to non-unionized workers. I came from the healthcare profession to the academic world. Same thing happening in the healthcare profession. Those healthcare professions that are not unionized, that are not organized, become the pawns of corporate processes and end up with the same level of salaries. I mean, it's almost constant. It's that low $20,000 to $25,000 a year, which is like the low common denominator for people.
Right. You know, and it is so funny for me. I'm a veteran, and I've got a lot of friends that are veterans that they work for the VA hospital. They spend years in the military, okay, and they move up in the ranks and they have more responsibility and they're a doctor, they're a physician's assistant, or they're a medic or whatever, a nurse, whatever. And they go through that process in the military and then they retire and they say, I want to continue working. Where do I go to work? VA hospital, which is a unionized facility. And that transition is very easy to make for military people. And you see these people with 20, 25, 30 years of really robust, outstanding, dedicated medical service to fellow veterans that are tenacious Union people. I mean, you know, it's like for the medical people within the VA hospital, it's like everybody gets to be that command sergeant major or that chief master sergeant and protect the troops. And it's a wonderful thing. I am very glad to see that you guys have got this. We also recently, the adjunct professors at Point Park also unionized with the United Steelworkers. Great people there. I have friends working there. This process, you know, we've seen it at Duquesne. We've seen it at Point Park. We're seeing it at other universities, Chatham and other universities here in town, and more to follow that hasn't been talked about on this program. This is a great thing. Bill, as somebody who's been around the block once or twice, what do you say to people, you know, should I unionize? Shouldn't I unionize? Aren't unions for Archie Bunker and people like that?
Well, that's where I think, first of all, the statistics matter. Take a look at the difference between unionized workers, even in the professional fields, and non-unionized. And then secondly, the thing that I've encountered again and again is people in the professions want to believe that the authority figures are nice, that they're good, and that they can be trusted and that they'll be taken care of.
You know, it is so funny because I come from a law enforcement background, and the cops and firemen and paramedics and teachers like yourselves will do anything at all to get the job done. And oftentimes, people like that, nurses, others, get taken advantage of because they care so much about doing the job and doing it the right way and helping as many people as they can. And management knows that. And they know how to play that system. And if you really love your pick or whatever, you'd stay for that third shift and help us out because, you know, they need you. I was a cop. Do you know what it's like to work a third shift as a cop?
Dangerous.
Yeah. You are clearly a danger to yourself and others. But yeah, you know, this. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things that need to be addressed. Guys, Karen, 1 minute. Any final thoughts?
Yay,
party.
Yeah, no, go yeah. Party. Unionize everything you can. Fight back to power. This is it right now.
There you
can't
go.
Do it without any everyone.
There you go. Bill?
Graduate student instructors at Pitt are unionizing, are trying to unionize right now. The university has said that they do not want them to unionize because it will create unnecessary contentious relations. Don't believe it.
Yeah. And you know what I think is so funny is all of a sudden, you know, when it starts getting close, these groups that are vehemently against unionization, oh, the union's going to oppress us when we're working, show up. And oftentimes they have no idea what the subject matter is. They're wearing a brand new T-shirt that somebody just gave them along with a $20 bill to stand over here and say these things, holding these signs. And it's amazing to me that, you know, people just, people do see through them. And the graduate students, they deserve a union like anybody else. Talk about rented mules. And, you know, but again, congratulations to you guys. I'm glad you got your first contract. That's a big hurdle. Think of some doozies for the next time.
I already have the wish list.
Yeah, the wish list has started. But at the same time, negotiations are a negotiation. And, you know, one of the things you guys should bring up is partnership, pre-decisional input on the things. That drives
Absolutely.
Them nuts. Drives them nuts. But that's another thing. Congratulations, guys. We appreciate it. And listen, we're going to get going. But before we do, we want to get you guys back on here to talk about it and make sure that everybody knows how successful you guys are.
Terrific. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you,
you
so
are
much.
Most welcome. You know, I like I said, I'm an old dog organizer, and it's really neat just to see the wins keep coming in over and over and over again, all across the spectrum. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.